Now, how do we get rid of Griggs's video? That's what I'm really looking
for. You can't get rid of my video. Oh. I'm too beautiful.
Good evening.
I bring too much to this.
Good evening once again, everybody. Welcome to the fourth of our four simultaneous podcasts. If you are here for the Atlantic 10, it's somewhere up there. The American up there, Mountain West.
Just don't want to
bother with it. Yeah, yeah. You'll be up there too.
Yeah, we're crapping on the Mountain West, but they deserve it. The conference we're about to talk about, while not the first time it's not been under the radar, is still of the better conference. It's not even close.
Yeah, this is our first ever preseason podcast of the West Coast Conference as its own exclusive podcast, and we're excited that the conference is moving up in the world here. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood. Joining us with video, again, John Titel, John Stalica, David Griggs. David, you mentioned that. We know the West Coast Conference of the past has been under the radar. We've always had exceptions for the under the radar for national brand teams, top 25 teams, and we realize that a good portion of this conference fell right into those categories this year.
Yeah.
So we've upgraded it.
Right, and I realize that the bottom of the league is probably worse than a lot of the other multi-bid leagues, particularly the power leagues, but this is a 10-team league that I think has two teams in the preseason rankings and a third BYU team that's a solid tournament team. That's a higher percentage of teams than at least the SEC, ACC, and some of the power conferences. How do you not have this? This is not an under-the-radar conference. It simply isn't. We woke up one day and realized this is a regular multi-bid league.
Well, last season it was only a single bid league with just Gonzaga getting in. BYU did make a run to the NIT, I believe it was the semifinals of the NIT. St. Mary's also in the NIT. But Stalica, let me start with you. And when we talk West Coast Conference, for the past 17 years, we've talked Gonzaga. That's how many years in a row they've made the NCAA tournament. And what are your thoughts about Gonzaga heading into this season?
You have to go back to 1998 to find the last time that the Bulldogs did not make the NCAA tournament. I mean, they did lose a lot last year, but they also have a couple notable transfers coming in. They got Nigel Williams-Goss coming in from Washington. You have another guy coming in from Cal. And then they also have a center who was out with injuries last year, but should be healthy to go this year for Mark Few's bunch.
Yeah, Titel, that's Karnowski who's back healthy. Jordan Matthews coming in from Cal. Yes, Sabonis is gone. They lost other pieces, but did they just reload here?
They did. And to give you a little background on Nigel Williams-Goss, who is the transfer point guard from Washington, I got to see the 2013 U19 team practice at the Verizon Center a few summers ago. There were three high school seniors on that team. One was named Aaron Gordon, who was a top five NBA pick. One was named Jahlil Okafor, who was a top five NBA pick, and Nigel Williams-Goss. I don't know if he's going to be a top five pick. He probably won't be. But he was in that company a few years ago when he was a McDonald's All-American, as those guys were. If Karnowski's healthy, and if these transfers like Jordan Matthews and Jonathan Williams work out, this team is for real. Can they make the Final Four? Maybe, but you never say that about a Mark Few team because he never makes the Final Four. But they are going to be in the top 20 all season long.
He goes every year. They get free tickets.
David, another transfer coming in from one of your favorite teams, Missouri, Jonathan Williams III, but a lot of pieces here for the Zags. Are you going to be on this is the Final Four year for Gonzaga bandwagon?
No, I basically agree with what Titel said. I would have said it better, but I won't say it over again. I think they're in the top 20 all year long, although I thought that last year and they weren't. But I don't think they're a Final Four team simply because, I mean, I don't think they're on the level of Duke, Kentucky, Virginia. I don't think they're there, no.
Well, Stalica, they have a pretty impressive-looking schedule as well. Can you run through some of these games that they've got?
Yeah, if we're talking about Gonzaga, they're going to have a home game against San Diego State, which, once again, is going to be part of the tip-off marathon. They're going to be in the Advocare Invitational this year. They're going to be on the same half as Quinnipiac, Florida, and Seton Hall. But they also have games against Arizona on neutral floor. They have their rivalry game against Washington. And then they also have a game against Tennessee and Nashville. And let's not forget Akron either, which is another quote-unquote bye game, but not going to be the easiest one to win for the Zags.
And then two games against St. Mary's and two against BYU. I mean, those are double-digit games against tournament caliber teams, potentially. That's a good schedule.
Yeah. So, David, better than an 11 seed like they were last year?
I think so, yeah. And last year I was on the Final Four bandwagon at this point. I was slightly wrong, but, I mean, it's rare that I'm wrong, but I was wrong about that. I wasn't wrong. Gonzaga was the one that was wrong.
Yeah, and Tytel, entering the season, we actually have two West Coast Conference teams in the preseason top 25s. The other one is a team that won 29 games last year, led the nation in shooting percentage. That's the St. Mary's Gales. Okay, we got a good reaction from Salika there. maybe that's his thoughts on St. Mary's.
Live on tape delay, this is what happened.
Tytel, what are your thoughts on what about this St. Mary's team? Are they as good as everyone's talking about them being?
I do not think they are a top 20 team, and I really think that Gonzaga is better than them. I like Randy Bennett. He was coach of the year last year in the West Coast, and he's been there. This is his 16th year, I believe. This is really showing the importance and influence of Australian basketball. They got an assistant coach, Marty Clark, who came over from Australia, and they've just set up this pipeline. They have junior point guard Emmett Nahr. They have senior power forward Dane Pino, as well as transfers from legendary basketball schools like Boston College, where Joe Rahon came from. They have a nice veteran team, but it's really all these great Australians, and obviously St. Mary's, that these guys go on and prove themselves in the NBA against the best in the world. They're a very good team. I don't see them as a top 20 team, but maybe they'll surprise me.
We talked the other night about guys transferring from the MEAC to Xavier, but I think making the jump from Boston College up to St. Mary's may be even more notable in the case of Rahon.
Yeah, but Tytel, you do see them as an NCAA tournament team, I assume.
Thank you.
Yes, okay. David, St. Mary's, this St. Mary's team, their non-conference schedule is the reason they weren't in the NCAA tournament last year.
Yes, and when we did our mock committee, and as we talked about them all year long, I guess it was under the radar, or maybe it wasn't. Whenever we talked about them, I hammered them for their schedule, and I hammered them for their close wins against weak teams, which seemed to be a lot. I was not impressed with them at all last year. I thought that they proved that they could beat weak teams in close games, and that was about it. Having said that, I am much, much higher on them this year. I don't know if I think they would be in the rankings, but it wouldn't surprise me. They're starting there. It wouldn't surprise me if they stayed there and even ended up there solidly inside the bubble, probably wearing white. This year, and I'm normally someone that doesn't jump on St. Mary's bandwagon, but I'm definitely on it this year. I think they're really good.
And when we look at their schedule this year, I mean, they've got the Nevada team we just talked about as a Mountain West champion, a trip to Dayton, a game against UAB, a trip to Stanford, teams like Arlington even, and UC Irvine, who will be among the best in their conferences.
Still a major upgrade. I know that those might not be brand names, but those are good teams.
Yeah, and Salika, they are actually leaving the state of California at least once or twice this year in non-conference, although mostly still at home.
Well, here's the funny thing, though. If St. Mary's is able to rack up a gaudy record in the NCAA tournament, it's conceivable they may not have to travel more than 75 miles away from campus because, again, Sacramento is going to be a first-round site this year with the new Golden One Center, and the West Regional is going to be in San Jose this year. So definitely some incentive if they can stay in the West Regional this season.
Are you calling them a Sweet 16 team then?
I'm not going to call them a Sweet 16 yet because they've still got to earn that, right?
Okay, just wanted to make certain because if you're talking about West Regionals, we're normally talking Sweet 16s. In fact, David, a little research here. I know you helped me out with this one. Every team that's ever played in a regional semifinal has also made the Sweet 16.
Yes, yes. I mean, I've researched it, and it's true.
David, let me stick with you here for a second. There is talk of the West Coast Conference being a three-bid league. We've already mentioned at the top of the show, BYU as that third team. Do you believe BYU can make the field this year?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if they're I wouldn't go so far to say you can bank that they're going to get in, but I definitely think that they can. They have three starters back, I think.
You've got Nick Emery, you got Kyle Davis back.
Yeah.
You've got Tyler Hawes's brother TJ on the team now, among other players.
Not always the best defensive team. I think that, you know, from year to year, that seems to be their biggest weakness. But yeah, I it wouldn't shock me at all to see them in the field, and then they throw your software out of whack as we try and place them in it and follow the bracketing rules.
John T, could we be talking about a transfer from Elon being the key for BYU this year?
Namely,
Elijah Bryan, who was the CAA Rookie of the Year 2 years ago, coming in there for the Cougars. How about this BYU team? Do you think they're a tournament team?
So Elijah Bryant is only going to be the second best transfer on the team as LJ Rhodes comes in, the shooting guard from Houston. He originally started at Baylor. He was the conference rookie of the year back in 2015. He didn't get to play last year in the NIT when they lost to Georgia Tech, but I think he's going to be good. Bryant is solid. So X factor is Eric Mika. If you remember him, it's because he was a tall, good freshman a couple of years ago before he went on his Mormon mission. He has not played, I don't believe, in a couple of years, yet he was just named earlier this week to the preseason All-West Coast Conference team. Who does that? He hasn't played in the conference, and he's already one of the best five players. Like, I think he could make the difference between bubble and making it.
All right. They are without Kyle Collinsworth, but Stalika, where are you projecting this BYU team? Are they going to be in that West Regional also?
I'm not going to predict a region, but I'm certainly going to predict, as David alluded to, a lot of pain for bracketologists as they try to scramble to figure out where to put BYU, because I think the worst-case scenario would be if they wind up in one of those Tuesday play-in games, because for obvious reasons, it can't be a Wednesday game.
Well, I can tell you that my biggest problem with BYU is something we did not really discuss with St. Mary's or Gonzaga, is that non-conference schedule. Home game against Princeton, a road trip to USC, a home game against Colorado, and David, a bunch of garbage beyond that.
Yeah, and there's one team that is very conspicuously absent, but they'll be back on it next year. But yeah, normally I thought that, like, in years past where BYU got in or even earned a better seed than what many, including us, were expecting, the non-conference schedule, particularly the road games they played and won, was what you pointed to. A little strange they get away from that, especially in a year where it looks like they have a team that's going to be near the bubble and you want those wins. So a little bit of change in BYU normally schedules up. They didn't this year. I don't know why.
Yeah, and Tytel, you almost look at that USC game on the road at December 3rd as a must-win with this schedule. You hate to do that to yourself, I would think.
You do. I think the must-win is actually the season opener with Princeton coming to BYU. The Tigers are favored in the Ivy League, as much as that kills me. And BYU, it's nice. They always have, like, these extra senior veterans because they've been on missions and stuff. But I don't know how long it's going to take the coach, whose name is – Dave Rose, to get the team organized by day one. So I think that Princeton might pull off an upset there.
I mean, look, I know that Southern Utah State was too intense for them, but they still get Utah Valley, Utah State, and Weber State if they want to be king of the Beehive State.
Well, there we go. They can go for that. Beyond these top three, I don't know that any of us are projecting any other NCAA tournament caliber teams. If you are going to be doing that, go ahead and mention that as we go forward. But
I was going to say that I'm not.
There is another big storyline as far as the rest of the conference goes, and that is, I think we're really seeing a effort now by the rest of this conference to say, hey, we got to catch up with the Gonzagas and the St. Mary's and the BYUs. We've got the money here. I think that there is money in these schools to invest in athletics. And I think we saw that with what happened with the four new hires. And Tytel, let me turn to you here. Which one of them would you like to take first?
I'm going to take the position of point guard because it's hard to find two better than Damon Stoudemire, the 1996 NBA Rookie of the Year from the Arizona Wildcats, and Terry Porter, who was cut from the 84 Olympic team, then played in the 1990 NBA Finals with Portland and was a two-time All-Star. In a 17-year pro career, Porter missed the playoffs once. You cannot find a pair of better guards, and I love point guards who become coaches. We've seen time and again that they've been very successful, I think. So I think Portland and Pacific are going in the right direction with these superstar players who are point guards who are now their coaches. They're not making a tourney this year, but they're going in the right direction.
Yeah, and those are two big-name hires as well for this conference in Porter and Stoudemire, guys with NBA ties that will help draw talent into these two programs. David, another new name here in the West Coast Conference is over at San Francisco, where Kyle Smith, a former assistant, I believe, both at San Diego and at St. Mary's before going to Columbia, where he had a great year last year winning the CIT, coming back to the West Coast Conference to try to rebuild San Francisco. Do you think this is a good move by the Dons?
Oh, absolutely. Like you said, he had the experience. He went into Columbia, who was not even in the top half of the Ivy League. And although he never got to the tournament, they were at least in the fight. He did a tremendous job at Columbia. He's a really good coach. This is about as good of a hire as I think San Francisco could have made. It's a great hire. I love it. I think he'll do well there. Maybe not right out of the gate, but it's a great hire.
A great hire. And the fourth new head coach in the conference, Stalica, is a guy that a lot of people know, Herb Sendek, coming in at Santa Clara. What do you think about that move?
Well, this is going to be his first trip under the radar since he was coaching at Mother Miami in the 90s when he led the what was then the Redskins to the tournament, but now have become the Red Hawks. I mean, he's had a kind of an up and down career at NC State and Arizona State, but I think it'll be a fresh start and a new opportunity at Santa Clara, who themselves I don't think have made the tournament since some guy named Steve Nash was playing for them.
Yeah, and Titel, I actually kind of, if I had to pick the best of this group here of the remaining teams, I think the Santa Clara team this year may be that, with all five starters back and Jared Brownridge, who has a chance to surpass 2,000 career points this year. But what about either Santa Clara or anybody else that you think may be the best of this group?
To be honest, I like what Coach Stoudemire has at Pacific. He's got a lot of, sadly, not a lot of size, as we've said time and again, a great bunch of guards, Miles Reynolds, David Taylor from Germany, and TJ Wallace, the senior shooting guard. Unlike somebody, I mean, Brownridge is great, and it could be something that Sendek's going to be able to take advantage immediately, although I think he has Arizona and Butler and Valpo on the schedule, so good luck with that. But once Brownridge graduates this year, I think it's going to be a little drop off the cliff for Sendek. So it's not now or never, but it's now or wait a few years, I think, for him.
David, we haven't discussed a few other teams here. How about teams like Pepperdine, Loyola Marymount, and San Diego? Do you see anything with them? They are not bringing in new head coaches, although I believe in San Diego, this is Lamont Smith's second year there.
Yeah, not a whole lot. San Diego, they open against San Diego State. They're playing it indoors this year, aren't they?
I hope so.
Yeah. Well, last year it was outdoors. I think that there was a problem getting people into the stadium. And on top of that, it was such a sour note. If it was such a bad loss, it may have knocked San Diego State out of the tournament. So a little bit of a disaster there. It's like they had an impact, but not the way you would want them to. But as far as them making any sort of splash or competing, I'm not seeing it.
And Stalica, your same question to you. Is there somebody else that you're looking at in this conference that could make a splash? I'm talking maybe an NIT runner or a solid CBI, CIT type of team.
I would say Pepperdine is probably going to be the best of the rest. And I believe they did get a couple scalps against, St. Mary's and Gonzaga last year. But I don't know if they're going to have nearly enough to crash into the top three yet.
Well, I guess on that note, let me run through each of you like we like to do at the end of these podcasts, ask you whether it's a two- or three-team league. And let me also throw this in there for this conference. What type of seeds you're looking at for the teams that you are going to put in? Throw a little extra curve in here for our last of these podcasts. David, let me start with you.
Gonzaga protected, meaning four or better. St. Mary's first ballot, meaning ninth or better. And St. Mary's is also wearing white, so I guess that means I think they're going to be an eighth or better. And I'm going to say BYU gets in as around the bubble, so 10, 11, 12-ish.
And to make even more hell for the committee and for mock committees, if you throw BYU into the first four and with the whole Sunday rule. Stalika, let me throw you the same question.
I'm going to say Gonzaga wins the conference. They'll probably get a protected seed. St. Mary's, I'll probably say around a 6 to a 7 seed. BYU, I'm going to have in the NIT.
Okay. And Tytel.
I do not think Gonzaga is going to be a top four seed. They could, but my guess is that it's going to be closer to a 5 or a 6 just because I don't think they're going like 17-1 in conference because of the other two teams there at the top. I'll have Gonzaga as like a 5 or 6. I think St. Mary's is going to be, I'll go 7 or 8, maybe 9, but I could easily see them wearing white. And BYU, I think it's really going to be one of the tougher bubble conversations around the nation because I don't think they're going to have enough meat on the non-conference schedule to beat up on people. And I think that it's just going to be a question of can they get some wins over Gonzaga and St. Mary's. If I had to guess, I think they sneak in as like a 12. But if they make the NIT, like John said, that would not surprise me.
And I pretty much agree with all three of you, really. I like Gonzaga the best. I'm calling them in the 4 to 5 seed range. I'm calling St. Mary's in the 6 to 7 seed range. And I think BYU, as we mentioned, if they get in, they're probably looking at a trip to Dayton and a nightmare in terms of bracketing. But on that note, I do want to thank everybody for joining us. On behalf of myself, John Tytel, John Stalika, David Griggs, we've had a ton of fun with all these preseason podcasts. We will be back the beginning of next week. We are going to do a reveal a preseason bracket. We're going to have discussions of all the teams one more time that at least will look projected to the field.
Okay, we're revealing one more thing.
And we have, David, why don't you tell us the other big event that's going to happen? Go ahead.
We are naming this year's Team of the People. I have no idea who it's going to be. We're still discussing it.
Yes, our preseason bracketology podcast. Tune in for that. We'll name our Team of the People. We also will probably give you some Final Four predictions, national championship predictions. And then the season starts November 11th. So talk to you again real soon. Thanks a lot.